ESPN's Teron Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our man Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, host of Jake and TD. There's nothing this man can't do. TD, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, man. I'm feeling good, man. How you guys?
We're awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, TD, on the Levis front, we were throwing it out there earlier for Titans fans. Like, what would you rather see? Would you rather see Levis back as the starting quarterback next year? Would you rather see them move on to a different option? And that's obviously a decision the Titans are going to have to make here as they move forward. One question we threw out there earlier this week, I'd be interested to get your opinion on. There's no doubt that Levis has improved from the start of this season to where he is now. My question for you is, how much better do you think Levis is from the ending point of last season until now? Because I think that may be a more difficult question to answer.
Yeah, I think he's better, but the problem is he started further behind than anyone in that building probably thought he would. Those mistakes and the different things that he was doing, that just, I mean, it wasn't acceptable. So he's improved and got those out the way, but the problem is the improvement and the level that he's at week 15 should have been that level at like week two, week one, you know? So there's progress, that's great, but it's not the progress, and he's not at the point where they want to need him to be now.
So how do you, I agree with you, TD. So how does that fit into the evaluation of the coaching staff? I would say that obviously there's some things Levis doesn't have around him in the offense, but obviously Brian Callahan was excited about him and was brought here largely because of his QB experience and obviously being a successful OC, but not a play calling OC at Cincinnati. Is it fair to look at the whole thing with Levis, even think back to last year when he didn't make the same level of you know, killer mistakes, which of course that's early this year more, but still looking at the whole thing, is it fair to wonder about Brian Callahan and quarterback development?
Absolutely. It's fair. It's actually necessary. I mean, you can't just say, hey, you know, he has nothing to do with it. He was brought here to help Levis progress. Right. And the thing is, what I take into account is I wonder, okay, this year Levis is playing to be the guy. It's a clear audition. I wonder if he was pressing too much because of that earlier this year, you know, and that's the real thing that you got to look at. But regardless, it is Brian Callahan's job to bring him along. And I think, like I said, the progress is coming, but he's just not where he should have been.
So, TD, bringing up Brian Callahan, I mean, he was asked about his job status earlier this week. And, look, I get it. When you're the head coach of a 3-10 football team, that question's probably coming at some point. There's no doubt it's been an incredibly disappointing season. On the other hand, it is his first season. And it's not like, you know, this was all roses before he got here either. So how do you view where that conversation stands with Brian Callahan and his job?
Yeah, well, everybody, when they're first starting their job, like their first year on the job, it you start at one point and you just continue to improve and get better. You're not the premier, whatever, forklift driver or mailman or whatever when you first start the job. So it's just funny to me how everybody says, okay, hey, fire him, he's not doing it. I guarantee you a lot of those people that are saying that were not good in their first year on the job. So to me, it's just like, okay, yes, you do need to have better results, but also at the same time, you could understand that it's a process. And we just, I'll say it over and over again, as a society, we're so caught up in this microwave instant process, and it's just not always that way. And I think this is a good example of it. And again, the results are not there. It's not satisfactory, but at the same time, you got to understand that it is a process.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's going to be, I mean, it's obviously this, so much of this is tied up. You know, we got three things here, the quarterback, front office, and the coaching. And obviously Titans fans are upset, but you know, it's also just this, this, if you do make a big move, first of all, what does that say about what you're doing? How would everybody have any confidence in you? And speaking of ownership, TD, and we've talked about this before too, and I am going to like look into this, but we've talked this week some about, you know, again, Amy Adams-Strunk not being publicly available. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, so you've covered the Eagles and the Niners before this, for example. Like, what was the ownership availability there? And what's your sense for around the league? Like, what's a reasonable amount of availability for an owner?
Yeah, I'll say this. Jed York was always available. He spoke a lot. Now, I haven't seen him speak a lot more recently, but, I mean, you look at him. Steve Bisciotti, I remember he spoke. But most of it was Ozzie Newsome, you know, and then in Philly, Howie Roseman, he spoke, but he didn't really speak a lot. He spoke more to one of the media people. I think, you know, at the bare minimum, either Chad Brinker, Rand Carthon, or Amy Adams-Strunk should have spoke after the trade deadline. No one speaking after the trade deadline was that front office dropping the ball. And I've said this to multiple people, you know, that I'm talking about. One of them should have spoke. It is really bad that none of them spoke. So I would say the minimum, I think, once, at least once, you know, somebody had to talk and just, hey, look, man, we made this trade. This is where we're at. This is the direction that we're going. This is the expectation for this year. I think that needed to be reestablished.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So, TD, Jeffrey Simmons, after the game on Sunday, talked about how he's tired of seeing his quarterback, you know, getting his block knocked off and lying flat on his back. And look, we all have eyeballs. We can see that he's absolutely right. It is a little bit of a change in terms of the public comments after the game. What did you make of what Jeffrey Simmons had to say on that front?
I think what he said was right. And I think he did have a right to make those comments. It wasn't along the lines of pointing fingers or anything like that, because, you know, that offense knows full well that, you know, he and the defense, they believe in them and they back them. So it's just one of those things where, hey, look, like, this is what I'm tired of seeing. It's bad. Let's fix it. You know, I think that's really what it was.
It feels like we hardly ever talk about the actual football games happening, but there is a game Sunday, TD. And I'm interested in your perspective, because I know you watch these teams closely. The Bengals, obviously, they've let some guys go on defense, and Mixon is, to me, that was a critical mistake by them. But when you look at that defense, I mean, Lou Anarumo, I know the guy knows how to coach defense. Are they just hopeless personnel-wise?
Yeah, I mean, look, they're not getting a great play from their safeties. The guys up front, you know, Sam Hubbard, he's a legit pass rusher. Trey Hendrickson's the absolute truth. So you do have that. I think it's just, like I said, I think it's more in the secondary. You know, teams are finding ways to get those points up on them. They're giving up, I want to say, what, like 20-something a game? I mean, it's bad. You know, to have that record and have that offense that's scoring 28-30 a game, it tells you all you need to know about the defense.
No doubt about it. So, TD, we were going through this earlier. I mean, you're 3-10. You've got, you know, a month left of football here to try to weed your way through this thing. You've got Jacksonville on the schedule again, who just beat you. Indianapolis on the schedule, who has beaten you earlier this year. But it's not like these games are unwinnable. So how do you view where the Titans currently stand in terms of the draft part of this? And do you actually believe, like, the number one overall pick is legitimately in the running here for the Titans, given how bad, like, the Raiders and the Giants are, for example?
Yeah, I mean, Raiders and Giants are bad, but guess what? Titans are basically just as bad. So,
yep.
Yeah, I think the number one pick is legitimately in the running for them. Now, when you look at this thing as far as what's left to do this month, it's pride, right? And I love the way all of the guys are saying that. You know, Jeffrey Simmons, hey, you got to play for the number on your back. J.C. Latham, hey, you know, it's not like we're just going to line up there and say we don't give a F and it is what it is. No, I mean, Simmons said if you feel it is what it is and feel you don't have anything to play for, your ASS will be out the league soon. these are very strong statements that these guys are making. You know, Calvin Ridley, he said, look, man, you know, I'm trying to get 1,000 yards. I want to help this team. I believe we're out of the playoffs, but we got to build momentum going into next year. And I think that's what it's about. Like, you build the winning culture. Like, it wouldn't be a coincidence if this team won all the games down the stretch and had a good year next year. I'm not saying they're going to win all the games, so let's, you know, leave my timeline alone. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if they were to do that, you know, that's the goal. That's why it's the goal for them to be able to, you know, build that momentum. And then as far as the draft, you know, one other thing, like if you don't have the first or second pick, I really don't think it matters if you're anywhere from 3 to 10. Because yep. First and second pick, you're looking at Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter. Me personally, I love Cam Ward as a prospect. I think he's a very dynamic player. But I don't think this organization can afford to draft him. I think the only quarterback that they could draft and expect to, you know, have some type of success is Shedeur. And it's just because I feel he's a very polished prospect. He's a lot like C.J. Stroud. And I think he's ready to go now. I think there's just too many questions. Like with Cam Ward, you get a lot of those Will Levis type of plays, right? You know, where it's like, come on, man, why did you do that? You know what I mean? But then at the same time, you're like, wow, I love that you did that. So to me, Shedeur or bust at quarterback. But then if you look from 3 to 10, I mean, you know, Abdul Carter, Tet McMillan, Luther Burden, you know, Will Campbell's in there. Like, there's a lot of different prospects that are pretty much like on a similar level that you could get between those 7, 3 to 10.
Well, yeah, real quick on that too, TD, because I think their realistic ceiling is 3, you know, just looking at the, you know, I'd be surprised if they're better than that 3. If they are there and it goes QB, is Travis Hunter enough of a prospect that you could get a haul out of that? Not like a number one pick haul, but a pretty good haul.
I mean, it's possible you find him. As a matter of fact, I believe the Jets traded up to get Jamal Adams at 2, if I'm not mistaken. So,
yep.
I mean, there have been times where teams traded up to get a guy. And, I mean, if someone like the Jaguars or something like that, like if they feel they're a playmaker away, boom, you might have a good trade. So I wouldn't rule it out.
TD, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us. We'll catch you later on Jake and TD, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, for sure. Appreciate you guys. Take care.
Absolutely. Jerron Davenport, our guest on Robbie and Rex Show, joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. We'll react to what TD had to say. Take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 8:30. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.